Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Dan Fallon to the broadcast. Dan is the Chief Technology Officer at Navistar Incorporated, the operating company of Navistar International Corporation, one of the world's largest truck and engine manufacturers. Dan joined the company in 2008. As CTO, Dan is responsible for driving innovation and technology capabilities that support Navistar business strategy. This includes simplifying Navistar's IT environment, integrating core systems and processes, and empowering end users. Prior to his time at Navistar, Dan spent over 20 years at Anderson Consulting and Accenture as a senior executive in the company's technology services organization, working across a variety of industries. Dan also serves on the boards of Junior Achievement of Chicago, Illinois Institute of Technology's School of Applied Technology, and the Chicago chapter of the Society of Information Managers. Dan holds a bachelor's degree in economics and computer applications from the University of Notre Dame. I recently caught up with Dan in his office in Lisle, Illinois, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed Dan's vision for aligning IT with business strategy, crafting IT strategy, and fostering innovation, among other topics. Dan Fallon, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Hey, thanks, Peter. Glad to be here.
Dan, for those who may not be so familiar with Navistar, maybe we could begin with a description of the company as well as your role in the organization.
Well, you bet. Navistar has been around about 180 years. I say that and people kind of look at me and say, what? 180 years is a long time. Navistar dates itself back to Cyrus McCormick and the Mechanical Reaper and the McCormick companies. Cyrus invented the Reaper and basically industrialized agriculture around the world, and that led to the formation of International Harvester in 1902. Navistar is the remaining company from the Harvester days, and it focuses on building large trucks, school buses, military vehicles, engines, and it also has a finance company. So that's Navistar in a nutshell. My role is CTO. I've been at Navistar now for about 4 years. It's been a great experience for me, as Navistar is really on a change agenda over a number of years now in transforming the company. And that's what excites me about the position at Navistar. That's why I joined the company, and that's why I'm still there. And that transformation is really around changing how the organization thinks in an industry, manufacturing of trucks and engines, that is becoming increasingly competitive when you think of fuel emissions and global growth. So we need a global growth agenda for sure, as well as our entry or re-entry after a number of decades into the defense business, where we're leveraging commercial trucks into the defense industry at a very good clip and financially successful rate. So that's my role at Navistar, which is to mine the technology shop and induce, if not facilitate, how technology could be better leveraged, both within IT, but for the greater good of the business.
That's wonderful. I've been interested, actually, in hearing you speak in the past, Dan, talking about your role as a strategic driver within the company. And that's not necessarily what all CIOs or CTOs can describe their role as. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you've approached that. How have you woven yourself into the strategic fabric of your organization, and what the reaction has been, how that kind of back and forth between your organization and the rest of the organization has gone?
Well, first of all, a caveat for anybody listening, and that is the sewing, the stitching is still very much a work in process, as I think it always is. I wouldn't want people to think that this is done or even near done, and if in some ways, it's still early days. Nonetheless, you know, I think it's pretty important that the business can rely on executives who are within the company, but not necessarily in the business, if you will, to be involved in strategy. To me, it makes sense. Now, there's some downside to it. If you're not within the business, can you really understand the business? Yet with that said, you know, business executives, I think, sometimes can breathe their own air too much. And I think IT is at a really good juncture within any company because it has such a broad view of the business to be able to provide an outside-in perspective from within the company to really take a good objective look at strategy, as well as interject where technology could play a role, but also where integration among the various businesses and business processes can have a profound impact on how the business executes. So if you just think about it logically and forget about IT, having that within the company, outside-in perspective within business strategy, I think is really important. And I may be a bit biased for sure. But again, I think when people look at it, IT is at that crossroads. It's kind of at a nexus within organizations because of its view to be able to play that role. Now, it's not necessarily a leading role. I mean, it can be in some companies. And if you look at some industries, financial services or insurance and so forth, where the business to a large extent is IT, you can see IT leaders playing a very pronounced and visible role in strategy. In a manufacturing and distribution kind of company like my company, it may not be as obvious or as natural, but nonetheless, IT can play a significant role in business strategy formulation.
That's great. Maybe we can talk a little bit about the dividing lines between IT's alignment with business strategy versus the creation of true IT strategy. What do you see as the connections between those and the differences between those?
You know, that's a good question that I think IT practitioners, you know, really need to ask themselves periodically, because there are different points of view on it, I think, and the viewpoints can also blend and get muddied. I think ideally, business strategy should explicitly incorporate and leverage information technology. So if you were to look at a business strategy, you would like to be able to see where that business and its strategy is seeking to leverage technology, simply put. Now, does that mean, as some would say, business strategy and IT strategy are one and the same? And I hear that actually fairly regularly, not pervasively, but regularly enough. And I'm not convinced that they're necessarily one and the same. What I like to see is business strategy having that explicit component, if you will, of IT technology. Where does IT play a role? And one reason I say that is it really forces the business to focus on IT, but not at the exclusion of other things, and that's usually not a regular occurrence, but not to get so mixed up that IT becomes the tail wagging the dog. The other reason I bring that up is that IT in and of itself needs its own strategy. The cobbler kids syndrome is still all too prevalent. And even at my company, we'll have some great progress around moving the business to roadmaps around key business value chains or processes or capabilities or whatever you want to call it. But then I'll sit around the table and say, okay, where are the roadmaps for IT? We are out there talking process. Where are we walking process within IT? And if you really want to deliver and get the business all frothy and foamy about improving and enhancing and integrating business processes, that's great. But if you're not doing that within IT, you're going to have a hard time delivering on that frothy promise. So there's this balance, and that's why I've come to the conclusion, Peter, that business strategy and IT strategy are not one and the same. And I don't doubt there's people listening who's going to disagree, and I understand, I think, that point of view. But mine is that there is a demarc, and that IT needs a strategy for itself, as any business unit would. But it's important enough that it has a separate and distinguishable piece or component of an overall business strategy.
I like that demarcation, very much in alignment with what we're seeing is the best IT leaders also doing, making sure, of course, that there's an understanding as to how IT can breathe life into the various business plans, but that there are some aspects of IT, and infrastructure being a prominent example of that, architecture, some aspects of applications and so on, that are going to be very IT specific, and IT needs to make sure that they're managing that aspect appropriately and in some ways getting ahead of the demand that the business strategies entail so that they, in fact, are delivering ahead of that demand what it is that the business is going to need.
That's a good point, Peter, because sometimes I think people walk away when I get passionate and frothy about this and say, boy, they're two separate and distinct things. And yes, they may be, but that doesn't mean that there is not an interdependency between the two. In fact, there has to be an interdependency between the two. People say, okay, Dan, but how do you make that real? How does IT differentiate a component in the business strategy? And there's a number of ways of doing it, and there's no right way of doing it. But, you know, a lot of times you can start with just the basics of what are the operational metrics that the business needs to manage by and improve, and as such that they pull those levers to have a direct causal and measurable impact on business performance. And if the business is coalescing around what those are, which sometimes can be very hard to do, You then in IT have to go back and look at IT's ability to deliver those metrics, because you then get into fragmented systems and poor quality of data, and then the accessibility of data and the concurrency of data and the redundancy of data. But it can be as something as simple as that. What are the operational metrics that this business is trying to manage to, if not significantly improve? And then when you look at the significantly improved part, that's almost like the next layer of the linkage between an IT focus and where it needs to develop capabilities and how it can be and play a role within a business strategy. Because you want to improve those metrics or pull those levers, you're going to be talking now about business functions that operate within a value chain or a business process. And what are you going to do to improve those such that you can ultimately make a difference in those operational metrics and so forth? So there are a number of ways you can incorporate technology into the business strategy. And there are a number of ways when business practitioners are talking about strategy that they can then also impact what IT needs to do. Should we be focusing more on data analytics, commerce, integration, collaboration, social, content management? And you can't do it all at once, so you need some direction from the business as to where you invest there as well. So I don't want to run right by that. They're not two separate things. I think most people would agree, but you really got to understand for your own company where those linkages are.
Yes, really good point. And you're starting to leap towards the next topic that I wanted to cover with you, Dan, which is innovation. You've just talked about a bunch of new IT trends that to some degree represent a modicum of innovation potentially for the IT department. And I wonder, before getting into the specifics of innovation, how do you think about IT's role in innovation? I think you've just mapped out a very compelling vision as to how IT is involved both in business strategy as well as creating its own strategy that is linked back and has the relevant touch points to that business strategy. How then do you create threads that keep with the tapestry kind of illusion we've been talking about that involve innovation?
You know, I've said a number of times, it's not so much the idea. It's what you do with the idea. And some people tend to agree with that because ideas are a dime a dozen. The good ones are the ones that are really hard to find. And no doubt that's an aphorism, and that's, you know, there's some truth to that as well. But I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of good ideas out there that never see the light of day. And I think that's the bigger problem, if not the bigger opportunity. And that's one we're trying to focus on is how do we get some common threads through the business such that those threads are pulling in these ideas in a more orderly way, in a way that facilitates vetting, exploration, testing, further filtering, proving, building, and deploying ultimately creative solutions that drive significant measurable value. That's what it's all about. Some folks say you got to rely on serendipity. You know, you can't manage innovation. I don't buy that, actually. I think process used correctly and at an appropriate level can facilitate a lot of things and create some efficiencies in how you do things. And that really does need to be applied to innovation. So what we're trying to do is figure out how we collect innovative ideas across the business, categorize them in a very simple to understand framework or two or three, and we have a number that we're trying to prove out here at our place. And this is all across the business, so we can prioritize where we would want to further explore and prove out some of these ideas and do it in somewhat of a routinized way, because there's efficiency in that. And you can then collect some data as you go, and you can learn from that data. So I am a huge believer of applying some rigor, some process to the act of innovation.
How do you define innovation? How do you know when an idea is innovative versus just another good idea that's being applied to the organization?
Peter, I think that's a trick question. I am so focused on what you do with the ideas that I almost deliberately skip over what makes a good idea, what makes something innovative, right? If forced, and I've been on some occasions forced when I haven't been able to fully dodge the question, what is innovation? To me, it's simply doing something you haven't done before to achieve noteworthy results. But that doesn't move the spirit a lot either. But what moves me is how do you take some of these ideas, and I've spoke about this before, big I and little I ideas or innovations, and those that are more internally focused within IT or the business, and those big I or little ideas that are more externally focused. And it's a simple four square, and you can apply and evolve some criteria as to what makes a big I or a little I, what makes it internal or kind of in between or externally focused. and then plot it and take a look at your portfolio of ideas. And similar to portfolio management that you would do in investments or you would do in portfolio and program management in IT or in the business, you invest wisely. You hedge your bet. You try to find out to what extent you have a balanced portfolio of ideas. And that's where we put more of our focus rather than trying to debate or discern what is truly innovative or not.
Okay. Yeah, I think you made a great point earlier that too many people believe that innovation is more art than science. And you were talking about how process actually can be applied and should be applied, in fact, to try to facilitate and drive innovative activities. And I'm wondering, actually, from a staffing perspective or from an involvement perspective, do you see this better as something that is a part-time role of many people or a full-time role of rather few people within the organization, or is it some combination of those?
Well, it's a combo favoring part-time. The bigger issue to me is how do you evolve or nurture a culture of innovation, which requires a culture, to some extent, of collaboration. It's, I think, the rare bird, although they exist. In fact, there's a young engineer at our company today that's, I think, very innovative. But I can't tell you how many times, though, we will be exploring an opportunity and an idea, and we come out of a meeting when it's a constructive conversation with that idea being significantly better. Just happened this week, the other day. Significantly better. Somebody came at it at a completely different angle. And that only happens when there's a culture of collaboration. So this culture of innovation is directly, I think, dependent, 90% correlated to a culture of collaboration. And that has to really exist in your organization before you really get to part-time or full-time. I mean, the ideal answer is it's everybody part-time, right? Now, you need enough resources to help facilitate the processes and the vetting and so forth. And you probably need enough champions, you know, that have a part-time role to really give some visibility and shed some light and provide the shadow of the leader around innovation and modeling what it means to lead and collaborate. So to me, those are definitely part-time roles. And in fact, you could even create a small 7-point, 4-point role description as to what that means, right? But getting that culture correct is what's, I think, most important. Now, with that said, we have really one person who's a pretty senior person who had spent a number of years running a large business unit at our company who is now in IT, focused full-time on strategy innovation. So there's one full-time person right there. And throughout the business units, there are varying degrees of people. And some of their innovation has nothing to do with IT. What I'd love to see, and this is what we're tacking toward, is a collaboration around innovation where there are a number of different disciplines. It could be engineering, it could be process, it could be information technology or what have you. Because when you get that collaboration, then across disciplines, you can get even a compounding effect. What the yield is, we don't know. But you can certainly get a compounding effect in terms of the outcomes.
That makes sense. Before I let you go, I'd love to understand what your thoughts are on IT trends. You rattled off a list of a few of the big ones, I think, earlier, but I wonder which ones you think particularly have legs and how you plan to explore or leverage some of those at Navistar.
Well, I have a few. You know, this collaboration I was just speaking of can be embodied in centers of excellence in which IT is teaming with elements of the business to achieve specific results. So I'm not sure to what extent that is a trend, but in talking to some of my colleagues, I'm seeing more of that. And it's certainly something that I am driving at Navistar or championing as best I can, perhaps. And these center of excellence, you know, we have some examples. One is very much kind of IT focused around integration, but another is security, and we're drawing the business in. Another is around business intelligence. It's led by the business, but obviously IT plays a big role. And it's truly multidisciplinary. Another is around data governance. Again, it's not IT defining what the data is. Maybe at the lowest levels, it may help for sure attribute key entities, but it's really the business defining what these key entities need to be defined. So data governance and so forth. So this whole idea around centers of excellence is something that we've been cautiously but you know, fairly deliberately evolving because there can be a lot of synergy when you get this multidisciplinary role and it can really build bridges. E-digital is another one that we might do with marketing or embedded software where some companies in the embedded software function doesn't live in IT, it lives in engineering, right? But there's a lot of overlap between the two. A center of excellence can help bring those together. So to what extent that's a trend, I don't know, but I offer it up. I think, though, a trend that is to some extent driving that, probably correlated not too tightly, though, is consumerization. I've liked consumerization as a concept for a number of years now when I first ran across it. But I think it helps accelerate the advancement of IT, generally speaking. Some view it as a competition to IT, perhaps. But guess what? Competition isn't a bad thing. So I embrace consumerization. And I think it forces IT to think differently. I think it forces IT to collaborate in unique ways. Perhaps Center of Excellence is one of the ways in which that manifests itself. I don't know. Location-based services, I think when you tie it to big data, and big data is one of those terms that's all over the place, but it's real. You know, there is something there. But location-based services tied to the pervasive use of data is definitely a trend out there. And then more of an advocation is something around bioinformatics, where IT and how you model and use data can be based on what you see in nature. Now, it's out there a little bit, but how I apply that to a truck and engine company is probably a bit tenuous right now. But, you know, you asked. I think there's a very interesting trend in that space.
Thinking especially on the first trend that you mentioned, it seems like there is a theme throughout our conversation, and that is the need to be fully embedded in the rest of the organization in terms of conversations, in terms of clarity of their strategic plans and what IT can do to bring those to life, the clarity of IT's plans itself, as well as determining where new value and new innovative ideas can be brought to life to the benefit of the rest of the organization. It seems like that's a theme that runs through all that we've discussed today, Dan.
Well, I think that's correct. And some, I guess, of my colleagues sometimes look at that as a theme of survival for IT, right? And I can understand that, but thankfully it's a small minority. Otherwise, I'm hanging with the wrong guys. To me, it's a wonderful opportunity. You know, that whole notion that Nick Carr wrote about in 04, 05 around does IT matter, right? Really interesting piece, for sure. I know he had an encore piece a couple years ago about it as well, right? IT does matter, and it's not a defensive statement. I think it's bearing itself out. And this collaboration is as much, I think, of IT, you know, pushing to get to the table as it is the table, the business table, pulling IT in, consumerization, data pervasiveness, and so forth. I mean, it has that effect of bringing it in, and IT needs to embrace that and co-opt it. You know, yeah, cloud's out there. You notice I didn't mention cloud. Again, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. It's an opportunity for IT to add value in how you co-opt a cloud. Because you can go and look at a whole bunch of ad hoc cloud services, but without stringing them together in a way that facilitates secure integration with auditability and all that other stuff that IT does, it won't be as successful. So IT has a significant role to play in that new, and I put new in quotes, computing paradigm.
Absolutely. Well, we'll leave it there, Dan. Thank you so much for joining us in the Forum on World Class IT and for sharing your perspectives and your practices. It's been a great conversation.
Hey, you're most welcome, and thanks for inviting me.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Our editors are Chris Davis and Calhan Kuhl, and our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.